Welcome to It's Okay to Say Gay. I'm your host, Andy Eganthorpe. I don't know if our listeners remember, but in the original trailer for this show, Famie and I lightly touched on our coming out stories. One of the reasons we did this is because coming out is such a major moment for many queer people. It's the moment that we decide to live openly and honestly. Coming out even has its own official day. National Coming Out Day was first observed on October 11, 1988, to commemorate the 1987 National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights. It's a gay world after all. By 1990, October 11th was officially recognized as National Coming Out Day in all 50 states. I'm so lucky because I never really had to come out to my parents. They always kind of just knew. I began coming out to my friends in middle school, and by the time I was 16, I was fully out to everyone. And then I went to college, and I snagged myself a boyfriend. I never had to sit my folks down. There was no big dramatic moment. I kind of just was who I was, and they accepted it. Well, to commemorate National Coming Out Day, I spoke to three queer stand-up comedians about how they came out of the closet and their message to other folks looking to do the same.
As you know, coming out is a constant process.
Say hello to Alejandro Morales, a comedian hailing from Philadelphia who was raised in New York's Hudson Valley area.
Based on your circumstances, where you're at, are you at home? Is it your family? Are you at work? Is it school? You don't just say it once and then everybody knows. You have to kind of get it out there. So one of the people that I had to come out to in my teens was my father, who is a Chilean immigrant who moved to upstate New York in the late 1970s. Very manly man, machismo kind of guy, like very deep voice, tall dude, scary guy. And I was coming into my realization of who I was as a teen. And I did it wrong, Andy. I did a bad thing. I used my coming out as a bludgeon to defeat my father during an argument, which is not what you're supposed to do. It's not a hammer.
You weaponized the coming out.
I did. I absolutely did that. I am so toxic going way back to the 90s. we were butting heads. I was a teenager. I was like 16 and we were having an argument, because he's giving me these like hard luck stories about growing up in Chile and growing up poor and all the things he had to overcome, all valid stuff. But then he looks at me and he goes, "And what could possibly be so hard about your life?" And I was so mad. I was like, "Oh, do you know what could possibly be so hard about my life, John?" And then I was like, "I'm gay." and then I fully ran up the stairs like Stephanie Tanner on Full House, just crying and screaming, "I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay." This is a big house, so it took me a while. "I'm gay, I'm gay." And I 1,000,000% thought that my father was going to follow me up the stairs like Danny Tanner on Full House, like a sitcom dad, and like come into my room, and then we're going to have a heart to heart and like hash it all out. He avoided me for a month. He did not know what to do or what to say. But after that month passed, he came to me, and the first thing he said was, "You are my son, and I love you, so I accept you." And then he was like, "Who touched you?"
Now, all jokes aside, Alejandro's father became one of his biggest supporters.
And then once he understood that, he was the most supportive. He was just above and beyond. Where my mother was very scared, she just did not want me to tell people, not because she was ashamed of me, but because she wanted to protect me, and she wanted to protect me from what people would say or think. My father was like, "My son is gay, and if you don't like it, you can go F yourself," once he came around. So it does have a happy ending on that on that level.
Well, I'm a trans woman, and I had known that I felt some sort of way like this since I was a little old kid.
That's Bailey Pope, a New York City-based comic who grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles.
I can especially remember being a teenager and like when one of my best friends, Cindy, I would spend so much of my time over at her house. And it was just like, she's a real person. And I felt like basically I just wasn't a full real person growing up just because I knew that this one part of me wasn't right. I was scared because I grew up religious. And so I was petrified at the idea of waking up in my 70s someday and not having done it. I mean, that was just the scariest thing I can think about. I just thought like, I kind of got like the short end of the stick, basically. All my like cis female friends, it was like, oh, well, you're just one of the lucky ones.
Once Bailey was ready to come out as queer, it took her a while to actually own the fact that she's trans.
I came out twice because I like thought about it for a long time. And then I grew up religious. And so my family was really not happy about it. And I basically got nervous and I backtracked. And it was about 2 years later that I told them, okay, no, like, this is for real. I'm sorry that you feel this way. This is who I am. And it's just like, it's way too much energy to try to do what you want to do with your life when you still don't feel like you're not being a real self. You know, like, you can't really bring 100% of yourself if you're not actually being 100% yourself.
Not only did Bailey have to come out twice to her family, but Bailey also had to come out to another important person in her life, her child.
So being a mom, being a trans woman parent is really interesting because first off, young people are just way more progressive than anybody else. But when I first started talking about coming out for about a year or two prior to actually coming out, I was kind of like more gender fluid. I wasn't like very shy about being feminine. And so I think that's just always been sort of a no-brainer, I guess, for me and my child's relationship.
When Bailey was younger, way before her transition, she became a parent.
They called me dad for a good portion of their life. And then for a few months after I came out and everything, like, I wanted to like accommodate them. And I was just like, part of the reason why it took me so long to come out was because I felt like it was going to be a burden on people in my life. So for a while, I was just like, all right, you know what? I'll just deal with being dad. I was just like, this feels weird. And it started to feel like an ungenuine relationship or like a way that we were talking. And so I asked their other mom, do you have any problems with me having Hunter call me mom? And so she was just fine with that. Again, still worried about everybody else and not just trying to take care of myself. But I told my kid, like, can you call me mom? And they're like, yeah. Sure.
Another interesting aspect of Bailey's relationship with her child.
So my kid is non-binary and they use they, them pronouns, which I have jokes about too, because everybody thinks like, okay, queer people are definitely going to make queer kids. And like, I didn't plan this.
Queer or not, you can tell that Bailey is a very proud parent.
Just raising somebody that's actually such a good person is like wildly satisfying.
You can't hide this voice. So no matter who I meet, it's like, surprise, I'm gay. Like, ad nauseum. Like, everyone around me is like, do less.
Meet Corey Saunders, a journalist and a stand-up comic based out of Jersey City, New Jersey. Born and raised just outside of Boston, Corey could never really hide who he was.
It's funny because, again, you listen to me and there's no question. No one's like, he could pass. You know what I mean? There's just no one is being like, I don't know. He might be into women. Like, that's not a thing. So, you know, I went into high school as this person with this voice and this sense of humor. And, you know, my friends never really questioned it because I spent a lot of my time in my high school's had its own public access station, and we did a news broadcast to the entire city daily. And so those were all my friends. There was a lot of overlap in the public access station with the theater kids because, of course, there was.
And even though Corey could never really hide his gayness, an awkward exchange with a fellow theater student pulled him out of the closet unexpectedly fast.
So, you know, we're at lunch one day and I'm sitting with a bunch of the theater kids. Some of them are TV kids, some of them are just theater kids. And this one kid who, you know, was in all the plays, he's like this big guy and surprisingly straight. And he'd come up to me and he was just like, are you gay? And I was like, I don't know, this is very aggressive. And he'd be like, well, are you? Because I think that was a thing back then. This was like 2004, 2005, when it was just like a big deal to be like, oh, so-and-so's gay. You know what I mean? Where people just had to know and you always had to put a label on it. And so he kept asking me, are you gay? Are you gay? Are you gay? And finally, I was just like, yeah, I guess I haven't really, you know, because you're still young and maybe you haven't, you know, gone down that road yet. So I was just kind of like, yeah. And then I went back to eating my banana with zero irony. Enjoy that visual.
And although being forced out of the closet was mortifying, it wasn't going to be the last time that he'd feel that way.
I had a really big crush when I was in high school on another boy. It was very unrequited because he was very straight. I think part of it was he was just so unabashedly himself, and he joked around and everyone loved him. And I found that very endearing, right? And then we ended up having this other incident where we had a big party and Mr. Wonderful, the man who I had a crush on, and the rest of the sports crew come and they're all drunk. Next thing I know, the lights go out and L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole starts playing. And when the lights come on, Mr. Wonderful is giving me a lap dance in nothing but his boxers.
And as someone coming to terms with their sexuality, a situation like this can cause extreme embarrassment.
It was like my Carrie moment. I stormed out of the house, like blew past my friend's parents. They were like, what's wrong? And I like couldn't say a word to them. I'm storming out of the house. I didn't give myself any grace because I was so mortified. I'm like, how could I have let him done that to me? And I broke away from that crew of kids, which was really sad for me because I really love broadcast journalism and making television. So I wasn't as active my senior year. And that affected me. And that took away something that I loved because I didn't want to be around him as much.
Support from friends, family, and the community is vital to many LGBTQ plus folks' survival. In fact, the Trevor Project's 2022 National Survey on LGBTQ Youth Mental Health found that 45% of LGBTQ plus youth seriously considered suicide in the past year. It found that queer youth who felt affirmed in school as well as their community reported lower rates of attempted suicide. It also found queer youth who reported high social support from their family attempted suicide at less than half the rate of those with moderate to low social support. And since support is key, I wanted to know from the comics what supportive advice they would relay to younger versions of themselves navigating the coming out process.
I understand that it's not an easy process for people and they're scared of people's reactions. I sure as hell was. I wish I had been more willing and more open earlier because I think there are, you know, things I could have experienced that I denied myself out of fear. And that's probably, not to get all emotional, but that's probably one of my bigger regrets is that I didn't just go for it. And I didn't just say like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I want. And, you know, I think there were a lot of missed opportunities when I look back and, you know, there were so many chances to be happy and be in a relationship that would, you know, work for me with another man. And I wish I had someone who would just said like, listen, do you, and we'll, you know, catch you if you fall. And, you know, if people freak out, which they didn't, you know, my family was very supportive and protective, but you don't know until you know, right? But I think that, you know, having a confidant and someone in your corner who will allow you to be who you are and go for the things you want, I think that's really important. So part of the coming out process is being honest, but also kind of protecting yourself and giving yourself some kind of grace to be you and to kind of understand, you know, what these new feelings are.
You really have to have or find some kind of support. Because if you're struggling with it by yourself, it's so hard. You can't go it alone. Or if you do, I mean, it's so much harder. I'm 41 now. It's been years and years. And I don't know. It's bizarre to me because I really thought that I was going to overcome it through the power of Christ. I thought I was going to pray the gay away. I couldn't. I would go to bed praying to God, make me straight, make me straight, make me straight. And I'd wake up the next morning gay nonetheless.
You know, teenage me could look at like the fact that not only did I finally come out and like, I'm happy with myself, but like, it's allowed me to be a lot more confident in everything I do. And the fact that I started doing stand up after coming out is kind of a wild thing to think about when there are so many oppositions to queer people and to trans people. And stand up is all about being authentic and being real. And you're kind of just hoping that people can be on your side enough to let you do, you know, what you do on stage as well. So I'm very happy. And I would love to have let teenage me know that, like, you'll sort it out.
Thank you so much for listening to It's Okay to Say Gay. Special thanks to host and managing producer of podcasts, Fami Redwood. Big thank yous to producer Dempsey Pilott. Tim Scheld is the WCBS News Radio 880 brand manager. Ben Meverack is the 1010 Winds brand manager. And I'm audio engineer and co-contributor Andy Eganthorpe. Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.